Okay, hello. One of the biggest changes for live streaming ever announced has just been announced, and literally everyone has it wrong. So if you are interested in the live streaming world at all, we absolutely have to talk about this subject. I am seeing a ton of misinformation and news about this. Twitch scraps exclusivity clause. Now as you can stream on different platforms, exclusivity clause is now a thing of the past. Twitch partners are now allowed to stream on other platforms. Twitch announces the end of exclusivity. Okay, it is super important if you are interested in the broadcasting world, or you are, especially if you are a live streamer or thinking of being one, you absolutely need to watch this video that we are going to break down in great detail, as we typically do on this channel, what exactly this means and the truth behind it, because there is so much misinformation going on. People have gotten this completely wrong, and they just didn't read it. And so we're going to read it, and we're actually going to talk about what goes on. But why do you care? Well, because I'm Devin Nash. I co-own an agency called Novo. It's a marketing advertising agency where we work with hundreds of creators and bring them cool deals to increase their sponsorship revenue and get products and services out there. So I love marketing and advertising. I talk about it a lot, and usually in really long, deep depth dive videos, which is not going to be an exception here. We're going to explain the whole thing. We're going to go through it. And to do that, we first need to start on what happened in the past. We have to understand exactly what the past was. Then we're going to go through the actual announcements. And finally, we're going to talk about why Twitch actually did this and what actually changed, which it turns out is very little if anybody did their homework, which it seems like nobody did. I'm looking at all of these people that responded to this, and everyone universally is just like reading the headlines like W, rare, massive W, wow, right? Like, okay, everything changed, but what really changed? Well, that's what we need to understand today. And if I feel like if people have just read the announcement, you know, we could have figured that out, but we're here, so let's go. Okay, so we need to establish what happened previously. So before this announcement, real quick, there's basically three things to understand, okay? Streamers can't multi-stream, number one, or simulcast. They mean the same thing. So you cannot stream to other platforms at the same time as you're streaming on Twitch, okay? That was before. Number two, you could always turn off your stream and then turn it back on somewhere else. And that was fine, right? So exclusivity only applies to the content that is on Twitch, that's being created on Twitch at the time. If you are not on Twitch creating content, obviously they can't do anything about that. I would argue that they can't actually do anything about the content you're creating on Twitch at the time, but that's like a whole legal thing that we don't need to get into, because that's going to take me a 50-minute rant, okay? The content on Twitch was exclusive to Twitch for 24 hours, which means it can't be put anywhere else. But in the history of Twitch, this was never enforced, meaning that technically if you stream something on Twitch, stop streaming, put it on YouTube within 24 hours. Can't do that. But that was never enforced. Big streamers like XQC, Asmongold always upload to their YouTube channels, and no problems. So this big thing is what everybody's talking about has changed. Twitch streamers can't multi-stream or simulcast, but the truth of that is something much more, much different, what people aren't really thinking. And I do want to show you this, which is, you know, I just pulled off of the internet, and that's just the affiliate agreement exclusivity, so that we can be absolutely sure that we understand what this says. So this is a bunch of legalese, but basically says that once you start an initial broadcast, that content is exclusive to Twitch for a period of 24 hours. There it is, right? And you can't put it anywhere else. But that is, so the keyword here is starting from the beginning of the initial broadcast, meaning that if you end that broadcast and you start another broadcast, that's fine. That's never changed, right? But you can't distribute or broadcast live content that you are currently live streaming, so you can't multi-stream, okay? So, what changed? Now that we understand exactly what the previous stuff was, so what has actually changed now? Well, it turns out it isn't what you think, and some super smart industry people have identified why. Let's actually look at the announcement, okay? So we're gonna break this down. Starting today, you are now allowed to create live content on other platforms. Okay, we can stop already there, right? You were always allowed to create live content on other platforms. If you wanted to stop streaming on Twitch and then go stream on YouTube at this, you know, in the same 6-hour interval, you could always do that. There is no way that Twitch can stop you from creating content on another platform unless you are under a specific agreement where they pay you to for your content to be exclusive to their platform. That's called a media rights deal. We're going to talk about what that means later. But for everyone else on the partner contracts or affiliates, you are a 1099 contractor. The exclusivity clause that I showed you before is what is in your affiliate or partner contract, assuming that is up to date. I just pulled off the internet, so who knows? And I can't show mine on my partner agreement, so that's what it says. but we're assuming that's the exclusivity clause. There you go. So you could always do this, right? What you couldn't do is do it at the same time. This means that you have more flexibility to explore how to use different off-platform features to further build your community and interact with streamers off Twitch. All right. When we first developed the partner program, we felt it was important for streamers to focus solely on Twitch for live streaming to build their communities. Pay attention to that. That's important later. We still believe that Twitch is the best place for creators to build and engage with their community. We also recognize that digital landscape has changed. Since we have introduced the partner program, many of you engage with your communities in many different places. So we are updating our policy. We will no longer be enforcing this portion of your agreement and will be updating terms early this year. Okay, so that sounds pretty good, right? If you just read up to that point, which I'm pretty sure 99% of people did, then you're going to think that exclusivity is gone because they said they're not enforcing that part of the contract and it's all good, right? Wrong, okay? So to clarify, we do not allow simulcasting on web-based Twitch-like services that support streaming for extended periods of time, such as YouTube and Facebook, because we believe engaging with two streams at once can lead to a suboptimal experience for your community. I can't believe this didn't upset people. It is unbelievable to me that people missed this. I guess because they put it three paragraphs down where everybody's CBA. Because they said again over here, we felt it was important for streamers to focus solely on Twitch for live streaming to build their communities. And now they're saying, we don't feel that engaging in two streams at once is a suboptimal experience for your community. Why is Twitch able to tell you what is good for your community when they're a service-based platform, right? Their job is to host the content, right? Their job is to host your content. You decide what's good for your community. So what they're telling you is that you still can't, by the way, this is the big thing, right, that nobody understands, exclusivity isn't gone. You still can't stream on YouTube or Facebook. You can stream on short-form platforms now. We're going to get into that. But you can't stream on YouTube and Facebook still. Nothing changed. You still can't stream on their competitors. The only reason why they're allowing this is because they don't see the other people as competitors. We're going to get into that in a bit. What they're telling you is that you can't stream on YouTube and Facebook because they think it's a suboptimal viewing experience for your community. They're telling you that you can't, they think that's a bad idea. They're acting as the parent here, okay? So make no mistake that this is not like a removal of exclusivity. It's deliberately saying we do not allow simulcasting on web-based platforms, and they're telling you the reason is because they think it's a suboptimal experience for your community. I'm going to tell you why the real reason is later on. Surprise, spoiler alert, it has to do with money. Okay. However, we know many of you want to use other services to grow your community. So simulcasting on short-form mobile services such as TikTok or Instagram Live is allowed. Wow. Thanks, right? The reality is that Twitch could have never policed this anyway. TikTok Live is a sea of nonsense. There are thousands and thousands of streams on there, and unless somebody is on Twitch deliberately saying TikTok Live on their screen, this was not an enforceable thing. Same with Instagram Live, right? What they're doing is they're allowing you to simulcast on these platforms because they do not see them as threats. They don't see TikTok and Instagram Live as long-form platforms where you can build a community and where you can monetize. And that is, to some extent, true with Instagram Live, but I think that they're underestimating TikTok a lot, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later, okay? And then the last part is just like, we're committed to dialogue. We're going to tell you some more stuff. Cool. So, a couple of people who are really keyed in on industry stuff actually figured this out. So Ryan, who I talk about a lot, he's formerly the head of YouTube Gaming, says he likes it, right? The next step needs to be to allow for simultaneously being able to stream to other platforms. They're still blocking this. The advancement in software streaming tech, multi-streaming should be allowed too. Streamers aren't allowed to broadcast their Twitch streams over to YouTube and Facebook except for extended periods of time. Twitch says that simulcasting mobile services is fine. This is still bad for creators. Let creators be free. So far, I'm seeing only like top industry professionals actually understand that this is not really a removal of exclusivity. That's why it's so important that we talk about this. In their FAQ, they don't mention anything about this. But there's a question that says, can I turn off my Twitch stream and immediately start my live stream somewhere else? Or is there an amount of time I need to wait? They say, yes, once your live streams end, you may live stream elsewhere immediately. That is not a change, right? As I showed you before, that is exactly the same. And then again, there's an FAQ that says, can I stream simultaneously on other platforms or services, also known as simulcasting? We do not allow simulcasting on YouTube or Facebook, right? So they repeat their announcement here. So again, you can't you can't do it. Exclusivity is still in place. Nothing changed except that you can stream on TikTok now and Instagram Live, I guess, which is kind of cool. Thanks. But it's not this like purported removal of exclusivity. If it really was, you could stream on YouTube at the same time, which would actually be beneficial to your brand. This whole thing of we believe engaging two streams at once can lead to a suboptimal experience for your community. This is a meme that I have continuously shown is not true, with multiple studies on this. And if you want more information on this, you just type Devin Nash multi-streaming. Does restreaming grow your stream? 2 years ago, all that is exactly still true. The new future of live streaming is a video about this. So you can just go check. And I also talk about this with Ludwig and Mizkiff. Those are all on my channel and everything too. But the short of it is that multi-streaming, just to be super clear on this, in fact, it's so clear, we're going to use the notepad. Where is the notepad? I hid my taskbar so that you guys had a better view, a better viewing experience for my community, okay? Multi-streaming, there is absolutely no reason to not do this. People say, well, it impacts your chat experience. You can literally just read questions from chat. People like oh, people are going to be upset because if they see something on YouTube that's not on Twitch, like I'm good, they're going to like, but I'm not a part of that chat. You literally just say, oh, hey, this person from YouTube asks this question. And then, by the way, you're also calling to action that you have other platforms. It's like a net win. There is no loss in viewership. There's gains in viewership. Every single affiliate on Twitch, I always recommend it should start by multi-streaming on every platform possible, because there is a chance that you grow on one platform and don't grow on another. And there's a huge amount of problems with Twitch discovery, even to this day, where small broadcasters are not getting discovered. So you absolutely should multi-stream, and it was never really enforceable. They can't go through every affiliate stream and stop you from multi-streaming. So I constantly said it. It's totally fine to multi-stream. It doesn't ruin your community experience. It doesn't ruin anything. It only helps you diversify and grow. Syndicating content only helps you diversify and grow. Why wouldn't it, right? Appearing on, if I am selling hot dogs to 10 people, maybe one wants a hot dog. If I sell hot dogs to 100 people, maybe 10 people want a hot dog, right? I sell more hot dogs if I get more impressions, more views, always better. It just makes sense. So multi-streaming, there's no reason not to do this. I've just covered this so extensively, I'm not going to do it here, okay? So now, why has Twitch done this, right? So what is the real reason that Twitch has done this and what's going on? Well, to understand why Twitch is not allowing YouTube or Facebook streaming, you have to understand something called media rights. Media rights is a super important thing to understand. And media rights live streaming deals. So you may have heard about like the $90 million OWL Twitch deal, or the $100+ million OWL YouTube deal. You might have heard of the Riot Games $100+ million streaming deal, right? These are all media rights deals. A media rights live streaming deal, okay, which could also be given to streamers, means that someone who owns the content can license it to be exclusively broadcast to a platform. So Twitch, YouTube, etc. And this license is worth millions of dollars. In the sports world, the traditional sports world, this is worth sometimes hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, where is the NFL going to show up? Where is the NBA? Where is basketball going to show up? It's going to show up on this channel. Well, that channel pays for that because the creators of that content is the NBA. So in exactly the same way, Overwatch League or any kind of big event like E3, they can sell their exclusive rights to a platform like Twitch or YouTube or Facebook or any platform, really, to be broadcasted there. People will pay a lot of money for that because people will go want to watch that content. You also have to understand a slightly different thing, which is a Twitch premium contract. This is the contract they give to their huge creators, like 50s to 100, top 50 to 100 creators, right? But really like top like 200 to 500 creators, which means Twitch pays a top creator to stream exclusively on the website, okay? Basically, they license your content exclusively to Twitch. And that's fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with this. That broadcaster is signing an agreement that says, hey, I'm I'm getting paid. This is my content. I'm agreeing to license my content out to this platform in exchange for monetary value. That has been reported in the millions of dollars. You can look at like Ludwig and Lily Pichu have talked about this, and Disguised Toast have talked about these larger contracts that are getting issued. And people have also heard about Shroud and Ninja being moved over to Mixer for millions of dollars. This is all premium contracts, right? Mixer paid for the rights for that, them to license that content there. So in that case, they actually are exclusive to Twitch, which is fine because that's a media rights licensing agreement. That's totally fine. Licensing agreements happen all over the world and all over in the agency world. It's totally fine. The difference is that it is much more murky when Twitch says to a affiliate, especially, but also a partner, hey, you're a 1099 contractor. Our agreement is we don't pay you cash to be here, but we do host a platform for you, and we take a percentage of your sub money and everything else. You need to be exclusive to us. That's a lot. That's really shaky. Never been challenged in court. Not sure what would happen if it did, but that's a really weird one, especially because Twitch is working out of California, where historically non-competes and exclusivity don't do well in jobs, especially when it comes to like talent or entertainers, which can be argued that's what people on Twitch are. So Twitch never really enforced this for affiliates, and as far as I know, just nobody tried to multi-stream. So Twitch is so let's go back to the big reason. So why Twitch has done this, right? Well, if you understand what a media rights deal is now, you understand why they can never allow simulcasting or multi-streaming to something like YouTube or Facebook, because then they can't ever get basically the rights for them to, let's say that they pay a streamer like XQC $1 million, okay, a year to put, I don't know if that's the actual number. Obviously it's not, because he'd get paid a lot more. So let's say they pay $1 million for XQC to stream exclusively to Twitch. XQC does have some kind of paid agreement as of the time of this recording, as do most of the top creators. If Twitch allowed, through their contracts, exclusivity to exist, to not exist, like all these announcements are saying, then that media rights deal wouldn't exist because XQC could just do it anyway, right? So they need the media rights deals to exist so that they can get these huge deals from publishers and put them exclusive on the platform. Like now, you can still do a separate agreement outside of that, and that might be fine. But overall, they're doing this because, number one, they don't see TikTok and Instagram Live as a serious threat, right, to their business. Why not? Well, because it's short-form content. It doesn't build community in the same way. And no problem, right? And number two, so they don't see TikTok and Instagram Live as legit competitors, right? And number two, they still don't want people to stream with legit competitors, build their brands there, and then leave. So they keep long-form exclusive YouTube, Facebook. Okay. Let's talk about number one first. So TikTok Live came about a year ago. And TikTok Live is an insane platform, okay? And when I say it's an insane platform, I mean that, like, TikTok Live, like, actually has thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of users. And I was just going to pull it up, but it turns out I can't because I actually have to log in, which might take some time. This has to be for phone number, etc. But were you to go to the front page of TikTok Live, you would, and I encourage you to go do so on a browser or whatever, you will see there are actually streamers with thousands and thousands of viewers that are selling things, and it's monetized. There are you can donate little emotes like flowers and stuff in chat for bits, effectively, and you can pay people to do things. So there's all kinds of cool businesses on TikTok Live, like people that sell like little eggs. This is my favorite one, and you don't know what you're gonna get in the egg, so they sell the egg and then they open it and they show you what's in the egg and then they ship it to you, and that's like a $10 donation or something to do that. And there's all kinds of little businesses on TikTok Live like this. But TikTok Live is exploding, right? There's millions and millions of users. And the argument I think that the Twitch is thinking about is like, well, if we allow TikTok and Instagram Live, it's going to be seen as like a really positive PR move. Everyone's going to interpret this as us removing exclusivity. And it's going to be great. And it won't really threaten us because, you know, nobody is going to stop streaming on Twitch to go to TikTok full time. I think that's an enormous underestimation of TikTok's power. And I have recently been talking about in my Patreon community that TikTok is under the magnifying glass of the Department of Justice and a bunch of U.S. government institutions appropriately because they are releasing a ton of information on their servers to everywhere. So despite that, though, it doesn't seem like there's been some word that TikTok is going to get banned in the United States. That doesn't seem to be the case. It seems like there's probably too much money involved for that to happen. And so TikTok has become an actual contender in the live streaming world, especially for IRL content. Twitch has the niche on gaming. If you're a gamer, you got to go to Twitch. But IRL content on TikTok is larger than it is on Twitch by a huge margin now. And Instagram Live, that is just a weird place. And I agree with them when I think that it's not a serious threat to their business. But I think TikTok is a contender and could easily build a community that could supersede Twitch in short time. They've done that with long form, and they got YouTube worried because they started creating video content on YouTube that was long form. Same on TikTok, you can now upload longer videos, and that was scary for YouTube. YouTube tried to compete with TikTok via YouTube Shorts, which has actually been pretty successful. It's getting like billions of views, and it's growing super fast. So they don't see TikTok as a real competitor. They're giving us this kind of like handout because they want the PR move, and they think that TikTok is not a serious business. Okay, so, but number two, right, they still don't want to compete with legit competitors, right, and build their brands there. If you look at every single streamer who was paid to leave Twitch and is now on YouTube, I think without exception, there might be like one exception. Every single one of those people has more viewers concurrently on YouTube than they did on Twitch. So, put another way, most of the people that leave Twitch and go to YouTube are getting more viewers. And this is actually the case. So, why is this the case? Why do people get more viewers on YouTube after leaving Twitch? Well, reason number one is Blue Ocean strategy, which is a marketing concept that says that if you have less competitors, but the demand is relatively the same, you will gain more market share, right? Pretty simple, just means more viewers. So there are more viewers on YouTube than there are on Twitch. It's 200 to 1, 200 viewers for every one viewer on Twitch. There are less streamers, right? There are at some point more streamers than there are viewers on Twitch for different categories of games. So Twitch is extremely saturated when it comes to live streaming. Everybody, especially gaming, everybody thinks of it. So all these viewers are there, but nobody is streaming there relatively, right? So you could just go there and get those viewers. But YouTube also has discovery. So you can search something like top Fortnite gameplay, and you might find a live stream on the search bar and people will discover you. Whereas on Twitch, you can go to the Fortnite directory, you can scroll through for like an hour or two, and you will find zero viewer streams that nobody is actually ever going to find, because that's like even the recommendation system cannot support how many people are on Twitch. Like, it's just too saturated, okay? So generally speaking, once these larger streamers leave Twitch, they get a paid offer from YouTube, one of those premium media rights deals I was talking about before. They go there and they find they have more viewers because their existing YouTube audience is already there. Some of their Twitch audience goes there, and there's discovery from YouTube that new viewers come in. And for some of these broadcasters, for a long time, they didn't have a lot of new incoming viewers that were coming into Twitch. It was mostly just their existing community. And by going to YouTube, they actually revitalized their careers because YouTube had more discovery of people that hadn't heard about them before, and all of a sudden they kind of started popping off on YouTube. So YouTube has been if you listen to any of the people that have done like their post-analysis, right, you just go to any of these people that have left, they have had enormous success with YouTube, and a lot of them enjoy being there. And many of them are still there, like Courage, like Valkyrie, who have renewed their contracts with YouTube. So YouTube is doing great. Twitch knows that, and so they do not want to drop exclusivity. Now, they also see Facebook as a legit competitor. Facebook also has Blue Ocean strategy. It also has discovery, but as of yet has not. Just like, I don't completely know why Facebook hasn't built the live streaming community that YouTube has. I think it's a combination, because the Facebook gaming department is like really trying to do it. I think it's a combination of the fact that like the Facebook demographic, the people that consistently use Facebook are just maybe less interested in that. And also some kind of quirky type stuff like real name discovery on Facebook and some of the features of the platform. But it's worth noting that many people have left Twitch and gone to Facebook and used Blue Ocean Strategy and the discovery on that platform to be more successful than they ever would have been on Twitch. And I will say, without any unequivocally, if you are a brand new live streamer, you have a much higher chance of succeeding on YouTube or Facebook or any long-form platform than on Twitch. Full stop, no exceptions. It is extremely difficult to build a Twitch brand from zero unless you have an existing audience that you can pull from somewhere, or you are doing external marketing, and you have to do YouTube videos and long-form content if you are going to grow on Twitch at all in 2022. Period, end of story. That's it. Okay? So, Twitch knows all this, and that is why they are keeping the exclusivity on YouTube and Facebook. But interestingly, I would be curious what really happens when this is challenged, because most people that are headline reading this announcement are not going to get to 26 minutes in a Devin Nash video. And if you got 26 minutes into a Devin Nash video, this is the secret call out. Oh my God, let me know in the comment section that you're 26 minutes in, that you are one of the deep divers. You care about the research and the real work we do here, a lot of research. Thank you guys for supporting this. I have no sponsors, so I just wanted to say thank yous to everybody that supports the Patreon, patreon.com/Devin Nash. For $5, you get over 70 videos about business and marketing that I make every week, and a bunch of other stuff too. The $5 is super worth it. And the other thing I want to tell you about is, if you're a creator and you're watching this, check out nexus.novo.tv. That is my company's service. Totally free, no BS, no ads, no nothing. You sign up, you need to take a survey, and we get you sponsorship deals. It's that simple. I don't guarantee we can get you sponsorship deals, because we have a ton of creators signed up. Over 900 creators signed up just over the past week since we announced it. But if you're a creator and you're looking for more sponsorship opportunities, that is the place to go. We basically built it as a resource for creators for free to get more deals. We make money off of the brands, so we don't pull money from creators. And it's a super simple business model. You can go check out more about it on my Twitter or at nexus.tv, I think is our website. Just search it. You'll find it. All right. So thank you guys for supporting on Patreon. Thanks for signing up for Nova Nexus so we can help more creators. And we're going to get back to the video. You're 26 minutes in. Leave a comment. Thank you guys. I always love reading the comments to see who has survived this long. And so I put them somewhere in the, never at the same time. I want to keep you guys on your toes. But you mostly are watching these videos. Okay. So Twitch knows that YouTube and Facebook are legitimate competitors. And they absolutely know that if they were to drop live streaming, they put their media rights deals in question. But also, they allow a lot of these really big people to find out that, wow, like, I'm actually getting a lot of viewership on these other platforms. And I think one of the best examples of this that we had in recent memory in 2021 and 2022 was a streamer named Destiny, who for a while was actually live streaming both on Twitch and YouTube, because his partnership was revoked for some angry tweet or something. I don't recall what it was. And he eventually did get permanently banned on Twitch. However, during that time, we saw him retain his viewership on Twitch completely, but also double his viewership on YouTube. Why did that happen? Well, because Destiny has an existing audience on YouTube. So if we went to YouTube right now and I showed you can see here, he has about 475,000 subscribers on his YouTube channel. So what happened was all of the viewers who were on his Twitch channel basically stayed there and watched it anyway. But then the viewers from his YouTube, who are similar viewers in similar demographics and sometimes the same viewers, but actually quite different. This is a big fallacy in marketing that a lot of people don't understand that's really interesting. That says that a lot of people don't think that your audience is the same across multiple different platforms. That's generally not true. There's generally maybe like a 20 or 30% crossover. But in reality, people that watch Devin Nash on YouTube may never have watched me on a live stream, right? Or likewise, people that watch Devin Nash on YouTube may not follow me on Twitter. Some do, but generally my audience is going to be different in those places. That was shown to us when Destiny was actually multi-streaming. On Twitch, he had the same viewership, and then he doubled his viewership overnight on YouTube. And so his total concurrent viewership went from like 4,000 to like 10,000, which is a pretty massive jump for a live streamer. And indeed, he also doubled his revenue by doing that, because now you're making all the money off of the donations that you're getting on YouTube and all the subscribers that you're getting. So this is actually, I guarantee you that if XQC or Mizkif or any of these, Hassan Abi or any of these broadcasters that have some kind of YouTube following were able, actually allowed, to live stream to these other platforms, they would double their viewership simultaneously. So they'd have all those viewers on Twitch and they'd have all those viewers on YouTube, and then they would make way more money. But there's two reasons why this doesn't happen. Reason number one is because these streamers just don't understand this kind of stuff. Like, nobody gets 30 minutes into a Devin Nash video. They just don't get this. And then the second thing is Twitch is paying them for them not to do this, right? So some of the agencies that run these larger broadcasters understand this, and they're saying, hey, like, my guy could be making a lot more money on YouTube if they're simul streaming this, or if I'm selling those content right deals. So what are you going to do about that? And Twitch goes, oh, they're right. We actually need to pay for them to be here. So that's why you're seeing like those top 100 to 150 people that are consistently getting those paid contracts are getting them so that they prevent them from going to YouTube or Facebook, or so that they don't multi-stream and then realize that they're going to get double their revenue. But any live broadcaster that had a sufficient following on both platforms could easily start up their stream, and they could they could double their viewership and probably double their revenue, or maybe even more, because sometimes AdSense pays better. So it's kind of a crazy thing, right? That people don't understand. So I have seen a absolute ton of wrong information here that Twitch doesn't just dropped exclusivity, but it's just objectively not true. They're still holding exclusivity on all platforms that matter. Live Instagram Live, sure. Like, my argument is that even massive live streamers would have they would have been able to live stream on Instagram Live, and unless they were deliberately like talking about it, there's no way that Twitch would have like gone to their stream and enforced that. But certainly, like, any broadcaster in like the 100 to 1,000 viewer range, they were never going to know anyway. So this is like, this concession doesn't matter, right? Like, we're making all this news and we're talking about this, getting thousands of retweets, and everyone's like, huge PRW, whatever, like massive win for Twitch, and it doesn't even matter. Like this was not this is not a concession, because they never were going to enforce this anyway, right? Like, they were never going to be able to enforce short form content. Like, if I'm here and I'm on YouTube right now, and over here I got my phone and I'm like also on Instagram, you're never going to know. I could have been streaming to Instagram Live this entire time, right? Or TikTok while I'm making this recording, or this was a live stream, would have been the same thing. Nobody would have ever known, right? So it's so unlikely that this is ever going to get enforced. When it comes to their legit competitors, exclusivity still exists exactly like it always has. And beyond that, nothing has actually changed. So there's a lot of people in esports that are saying, oh, like, now can we co-stream OWL, or can we co-stream like Riot Games or whatever? Now, again, that is dependent on the agreement of the media rights live streaming deal, right? So like, in the case of OWL, who is, I think, as of the time of this recording, sold its media rights to YouTube, it would be up to OWL if that could be co-casted on Twitch. It's not up to Twitch, it's not their content. They don't own it, right? YouTube owns the license to that for the duration of that contract. So for any media rights deal, it's the person that has been licensed that content that makes that decision. For everything else, it's the person that owns the content, right? Twitch is making the argument that they can tell you where to be and when to be, and they certainly can for their paid people. I would take issue with them being able to do that for everybody else, but we'll see, right? Regardless, exclusivity is still alive and well, boys, okay? And I am disappointed by many of the Twitch representatives, industry professionals, and people that say that it isn't, because they are giving misinformation to broadcasters. So I endeavor to try to repair that by making videos like this one, but because it's a very comprehensive topic, I do really appreciate the people that have actually stayed and listened to this, because it's a massive, massive misinformation on this one. And like, Twitch, I don't expect Twitch to remove exclusivity from Facebook and YouTube or any long form platform that matters anytime soon. And if they really are for the content creators and the people, like they say, then they would remove that. Why wouldn't they? Right? Because do you actually believe that they're not removing the Facebook and YouTube exclusivity because they believe that it's a suboptimal viewing experience for your community, right? Why should they be telling you what your community is good for and what's not? Shouldn't you be the one that says that? Do you really believe that Twitch is holding back on eliminating long-form exclusivity because they believe it's bad for your community? Well, it's good on Twitch, right? Because they're taking care of your community for you. Just making those decisions for you. Okay? Thanks. Thanks for coming out. I hope this was useful to you. I make these videos so that it helps people understand these complicated issues, and I will make more. Come talk to me on Discord, discord.gg/Devin. I'm there all the time. And subscribe to the video if you'd like it. Thanks, and I'll see you again next time.